welcome back to Coffee and Catechism, a regular podcast on the Catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I'm your amateur catechist, Richard Reeb. This is a production of Amateur Anglican. Today is July the 8th, 2020. A nice Wednesday. It's supposed to be 93 today with lots of humidity. My poor air conditioning is going to be running and running and running. Oh well. So let's open with prayer. Almighty God, you so loved the world that you gave your only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Pour into our hearts that most excellent gift of love by your Holy Spirit, that we may delight in the inheritance that is ours as your sons and daughters, and live to your praise and glory through Jesus Christ. Amen. So it's kind of ironic that I'm drinking coffee. I guess that's what I'm thinking. You know, it's going to be a toasty day. I'm drinking some hot coffee right now, but it's air conditioned here and I like my coffee. It's kind of an obsession, maybe. Like I said, I think in the last podcast, you know, I spent 8 years in the Navy and never drank coffee, and then I start working for the federal government, and all of a sudden I'm an addict on the coffee front. Got my coffee here, still the same coffee as the Monday recording, house blend. I usually have mine kind of sweet. I don't know. They're so funny that there's these arguments over the right way to sweeten or not sweeten one's coffee. Of course, also various ways to prepare it. I don't know. Funny creatures. Question 39. We are on page 36 of the Catechism. Question 39. Why do you call the first of the three divine persons Father? Why do you call the first of the three divine persons Father? Our Lord Jesus Christ is the only divine Son of the Father. He called God Father and taught his disciples to do the same. God gives believers his Holy Spirit and adopts us as his children, enabling us to call him Father. First scriptural reference is Deuteronomy 32:4-9. The rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are just. A faithful God without bias. He is righteous and true. His people have acted corruptly toward him. This is their defect. They are not his children, but a devious and crooked generation. Is this how you repay the Lord, you foolish and senseless people? Isn't he your Father and Creator? Didn't he make you and sustain you? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of past generations. Ask your Father, and he will tell you, your elders, and they will teach you. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance and divided the human race, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the people of Israel. But the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob, his own inheritance. Next is the Psalm number 2. All of Psalm number 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs, and the Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with the rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Next is the Gospel of our Lord according to St. Matthew, chapter 6, verses 6 to 9. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the Gentiles, since they imagine they will be heard by their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. Therefore, you should pray like this: Our Father in heaven, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. The next is also the Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 5, 17 to 23. Jesus responded to them, My Father is still working, and I am working also. This is why the Jews began trying all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal to God. Jesus replied, Truly I tell you, the Son is not able to do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son likewise does these things. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing, and he will show him greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. Excuse me, I lost my place. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing, and he will show him greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. And just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so the Son also gives life to whom he wants. The Father, in fact, judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, so that all people may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. The next is Galatians 4, 1 to 7. Now, I say that as long as the heir is a child, he differs in no way from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. Instead, he is under guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were in slavery under the elements of the world. When the time came to completion, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Since you are no longer a slave, but a son, and of a son, then God has made you an heir. The Word of the Lord. Now, when I mentioned that I was going to be working on this section of the Creed to the Canon Theologian, in her diocese, that's Stephen Gautier. He's like, oh, make sure you understand, make sure that you explain the Father and the Son, that the Son and the Father are defined by those terms. You can't have a Father without a Son, and a Son without a Father. So from the very beginning, which is, you know, which you see in Psalm number 2, in fact, turn back to that really quick. My voice went a little deep because I paused, had a sip of my coffee, and decided to choke on it for some reason. So I just had a coughing fit and trying to recover my voice a little bit. Psalm 2, at the very end of it, to the Son. This is a different translation. Pay homage to the Son, or you'll be angry with you, and you'll perish in your rebellion. At the beginning of it, talks about the Father. It said to me, "You are my Son. Today I have become your Father." You know, there it is in the Psalms. And of course, all this is revealed in Christ Jesus. And then Saint Jerome on this is great. Here's Saint Jerome. He says, "Adoption, so that we may clearly understand that the Son of God is unique, for we are sons of God through His generosity and the condescension of His mercy, whereas Jesus is Son by nature, sharing the same divinity with the Father." The Catechism, our Lord Jesus Christ is the only divine Son of the Father. He called God Father and taught His disciples to do the same. God gives believers His Holy Spirit and adopts us as His children, enabling us to call Him Father. So then in Matthew 6, verses 6 to 9, here's Chrysostom on, which is the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, which of course there's a later section in the Catechism on the Lord's Prayer, but here's what Chrysostom says on the Our Father who art in heaven. "See how he straightway stirred up the hearer and reminded him of all God's bounty in the beginning. For he who calls God Father, by him both remission of sins and taking away of punishment and righteousness and sanctification and redemption and adoption and inheritance and brotherhood with the only begotten and the supply of the Spirit are acknowledged in this single title. For one cannot call God Father without having attained to all those blessings. Doubly, therefore, does he awaken their spirit, both by the dignity of him who is called on, both by the dignity of him who is called on, and by the greatness of the benefits which they have enjoyed. And when he said, in heaven, he speaks not this as shutting a God up there, but as withdrawing him who is praying from earth and fixing him in the high places and in the dwellings above." So twofold there. I probably should have stopped earlier, but there's a sense. So Chrysostom clearly saying in calling God the Father, there is a lot of things that go along with that. The remission of sins, the taking of punishment, of righteousness, sanctification, redemption. By saying our Father, and you know, it's grief. We are finite creatures, fallen far from the grace of God, and yet Jesus teaches us to say our Father. There's no begrudgingness in that. You could think of, say, I think of the story of the prodigal son. You have the older brother who's just, he's ticked, he's upset that the younger brother comes back. Younger brother comes back and is treated with such warmth and affection. There's nothing of that in Jesus as he calls us to himself, makes us heirs with him, teaches us to call his Father, Father, to be brought in as adopted brothers and sisters in Christ, or brought in as adopted heirs of God the Father. And there's no begrudgingness in this. It's utterly unlike us. Utterly. I'm going to roll right into question 40 then. What do you mean when you call God Father? When I call God Father, I declare that I was created for relationship with Him, that I trust in God as my protector and provider, and that I put my hope in God as His child and heir in Christ. Genesis 1:26-27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth." So God created man in His own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them, male and female. Ooh, doesn't that feel countercultural at the moment? Psalm 68:4-6. Sing to God, sing praises to His name. Lift up a song to Him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord, exult before Him. Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in His holy habitation. God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell on a parched land. O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked, the heavens poured down rain before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel. Next, Psalm 103:13-14. As God shows compassion to His children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. The next is the Gospel of our Lord according to St. Matthew, chapter 6:25-34. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than clothing, and the body more than... and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about your clothes? Observe how the wild flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin the thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Wow, that could be like the 2020 life verse right there. Each day has enough trouble for its own. I'm sorry, it's a crazy year. The next is Romans chapter 8:17-21. I start with 16. The Spirit Himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. For the creation eagerly waits with anticipation for God's Son to be revealed. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in the hope that the creation itself will also be set free from the bondage to decay into the glorious freedom of God's children. the word of the Lord. You know, there's a certain sense that in the middle of all that's going on around us with coronavirus and various here in the United States and in other Western countries, there's a certain amount of rioting and violence going on in various isolated places. Where I am is, you know, they burned a few things, you know, one night in a city one over, and a few nights later vandalized a store, but that was about it. I mean, but in Chicago, of course, much more damage was done, and people are dying from coronavirus. I think, you know, living in the United States has a certain isolation from it. Yes, it's high here, but say like my wife's family in Guatemala, you know, they're looking at hospitals that all they can do for you is strap some oxygen onto you. And that might be better than some other places where they've got nothing for you. And, you know, I just turned 50, and, you know, that's like a real number. You're like, you know, 20 is like, all right, cool, I'm 20. 30, you're like, ooh, growing up, 40. 50? Oof. You're like, wow, that's a, you know, there's people who've died in their 50s or before they've hit 50, and you got coronavirus going on and people dying from it or complications from it. And it, you know, it provided the background for a conversation for my wife and I to talk about. It's like, you know, what happens if one of us dies? What would we do? What's the plan? Is there a will in place? Is there, what's the insurance look like? How do we do that sort of stuff? There is no guarantee of tomorrow. You know, we sort of, it's interesting, we end up in this little bubble of everything's fine, and then get into a situation like this one. It's like, there was never any guarantee of tomorrow. There's always the possibility God could call me home tomorrow, tonight, in 5 minutes. There's no, and here calling God Father, to rely on him, to not worry about tomorrow. I mean, that just, it goes so against the grain, especially of us, of those of us raised in the West, and this, especially here in the United States, we just sort of assume there's sort of a utopian, things must get better. We must, you know, the march of Western history, things kept getting better to a certain degree. How you can still hold that view perfectly in light of the 20th century and World War I, World War II, Hitler, Mao, Stalin, millions of people died by their hands. But yet we have this narrative of things are getting better. But there's no guarantee of tomorrow. And in here when we say, when I call God Father, I declare that I was created for a relationship with him. You know, this is a non, what? It's not exactly a material possession. It isn't a material possession. It's a relationship. I come into the world naked, I leave naked. When I call God Father, I declare that I was created for a relationship with him. That I trust in God as my protector and provider, and that I put my hope in God as his child and heir in Christ. All that I am, all that I have are his. They were given to me. The Genesis, we were made in his image, male and female. Well, there's a whole other podcast on so much rich text today. It's like everywhere. It's a bounty of things. Let's see. Jerome. So I'm in Romans 8. The God testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, so that we may be also be glorified with him. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. So here's Jerome. Do you dread poverty? Christ called the poor blessed. Does toil frighten you? No athlete is crowned but in the sweat of his brow. Are you anxious as regards food? Faith fears no famine. Do you dread the bare ground for limbs wasted with fasting? The Lord lies there beside you. Do you recoil from an unwashed head and uncombed hair? Christ is your head. Does the boundless solitude of the desert terrify you? In the spirit you may walk always in paradise. Do you turn your thoughts there and you will... Do but turn your thoughts there and you will no more. You will be no more in the desert. Is your skin rough and scaly because you no longer bathe? He that is once washed in Christ has no need to wash again. To all your objections, the apostle gives this one brief answer. The sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. And I'll turn once again to Chrysostom. I was just thinking, you can almost call this Coffee and Catechism and Chrysostom podcast. Chrysostom here in, I'm looking in Matthew 6, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added to you. Here's Chrysostom. Thus, when he had set the soul free from anxiety, then he made mention also of heaven. For indeed he came to do away with the old things, and to call us to a greater country. Therefore he does all to deliver us from things unnecessary and from our affection for the earth. For this cause he mentioned the heavens also, saying that the Gentiles seek after these things, they whose whole labor is for the present life, who have no regard for the things to come, nor any thought of heaven. But to you not these present gifts are the chief things, but other than these. For we were not born for this end, that we should eat and drink and be clothed, but that we might please God and attain unto the good things to come. Therefore, as things here are secondary in our labor, so also in our prayers let them be secondary. Therefore, he also said, seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you. And he said not, shall be given, but will be added, that thou might learn that the things present are no great part of his gifts, compared with the greatness of the things to come. Accordingly, he did not bid us so much as to ask for them, but we asked for other things, to have confidence, as though these were also were added to those. Seek then the things to come, and you will receive the things present also. Seek not the things that are seen, and you will surely attain unto them. Yea, for it is unworthy of you to approach thy Lord for such things, and you, who ought to spend all your zeal and care for these unspeakable blessings, do greatly disgrace them. You disgrace yourself by consuming it on the desire of transitory things. What do you mean when you call God Father? When I call God Father, I declare that I was created for a relationship with Him, that I trust in God as my protector and provider, and that I put my hope in God as child and heir in Christ. Thank you so much for listening. I've come up on my 30-minute time limit. I did make it through two questions this time. Again, feedback, amateuranglican@gmail.com. The website, amateuranglican, etc. If you're listening on iTunes, please rate and review. I could use some reviews. I don't have any reviews. Please review, write up a little something, good, bad, indifferent. I do appreciate feedback. I have gotten feedback. That's why I adjusted some volume levels. I hope that's all sounding better. Oh, thank you so much for joining me today. Let's find an appropriate prayer and close us out. Almighty and eternal God, so draw our hearts to you, so guide our minds, so fill our imaginations, so control our wills, that we may be wholly yours, utterly dedicated to you, and then use us, we pray, as you will, and always to your glory and the welfare of your people. Through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.